Jeanette, it would make them shout because I thought I got one of them sermons today that no one's going to like. John chapter 13, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Y'all give me an amen when you get there. Amen. If you've ever read the book of John, which I know many of y'all have, St. John chapters 1 through 12 is the first years of Jesus Christ. And John chapter 12, through the end of St. John is the last 8 days of Jesus' life. So you can tell by the time we're in John chapter 13, we're in the last few days of his life. And so Jesus is preparing for his death. Now this could almost be an Easter sermon, but I felt the Lord lead me here. In John chapter 13, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, when he was gone out," Jesus said, now who was gone? Judas had left by now. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you," here it is right here, "a new commandment." Someone say, "a new commandment. I give unto you that you love one another." Uh-oh. Everyone, look at your neighbor and say, it's one of those sermons. Okay. It's one of those sermons. "That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. But this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Uh-oh. So to be a good Christian, you have to show love one toward another? Yes, because you know why? Jesus showed love toward us. So we should show love one for another. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you. I ask that you help me, strengthen me in my body, Lord, where I can preach your word. Thank you for that soul that has come to know Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, because that's the reason why we're here. Lord, we could sing every song in our library. I could preach every sermon in my library that I have in my office, Lord, but to have one person saved, that's the reason why we have come together, is to see another saint name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father God, I worship you and I thank you for this all, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to carry you on a archive through the music industry. In 1980, Johnny Lee sang a song saying, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." 1984, Tina Turner sang a song entitled, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" In 2003, the Black Eyed Peas wrote a song that said, "Where is the love?" For years, we've sang about love. For years, we've talked about the idea of what love is. And in a world that we live in today, love has been redefined too many times over and over and over again. But let me just stop and say, I'm not going to preach on anything like that. We all know where we stand with that here. I'm preaching to the church this morning. We live in a very cold world. Can somebody agree to that? We live in a very cold and callous world. And if there is one thing that this world needs, is it needs a little bit more love in the streets. It needs a little bit more love outside of the church. Now, I want to say this. Love is not acceptance. Did y'all hear that? Love is not acceptance. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit later on in this sermon. But loving someone is not accepting who they are. Loving someone is telling them that what they're doing is incorrect to the Word of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, so we'll move on because y'all don't like what I'm saying, apparently. But I asked a question one time, and I didn't understand why I asked my mama this when I was a young boy, but one day we were sitting in the carport, and we were talking, and she was reading her Bible, and she was talking about love, and I said, "Well, mama," I said, "what is love?" And she said, "God is love." And I always thought my mama was a super spiritual woman, that she couldn't even answer the most basic question without having to bring God into the conversation. But the older I get, the more and more I understand exactly what my mama was telling me, that God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and 8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." One of the earliest church fathers, whose name was Tertullian, he was born in 160 A.D., and died in 240 AD. He was one of the founding fathers of the church. Many of the doctrines that we go by, he was the author who began to pen some of these famous works. But in his books that he wrote, as this church began to grow and people began to see these newfound Christians, he saw the persecution that the churches were going through. He saw how the evil rulers, the evil Caesars of Rome hated the name of Jesus, and everything they could do to destroy it, they did. But Tertullian saw a group of people who held on to the name of Jesus with every fiber of their being because they fell in love with him, because while we were yet sinners, yet Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These people had found Jesus and their lives were being transformed. And Tertullian wrote in his book, Brother Larry, and he said this right here. He said, even the pagan worshipers are knowing a difference about God's church. Can I tell you, it wasn't because they spoke in tongues. It wasn't because women let their hair grow down or wore skirts all the time. It wasn't about anything that they did because the musicians that were on the stage or the style preacher that they had. It had nothing to do with the organization of the church. The reason why the pagan worshipers were able to notice this newfound church was because of what he wrote in his book, where it says, see how they have love one for another. The very foundation of our church was built on a church that learned how to love before we learned how to judge one another. Y'all better help me preach this morning. Jesus Christ gave us a commandment. Someone say commandment. He gave us a commandment in our scripture text, because if love was important for the early church, guess what it's important for now? It's important for the last day church. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you shall also love one another. Y'all want to listen to something right here? A commandment is not a recommendation. Y'all listening? A commandment is not a recommendation. A commandment is not an option. A commandment is, you better listen to what I am saying and honor what I say. Y'all listening? This is where I wish y'all would have shouted. Because I have seen in a church culture where we want you to belong before you believe. That's the new slogan in the church world. We want you to belong here before you believe. I don't want you to belong anywhere unless you belong to God first. I want to make sure I lead you to Jesus first. I want to make sure that you know him in all of his glory and all of his splendor. If there is one thing I don't want to fail at, is presenting someone to Jesus Christ so he can save them from their sins and cleanse them from their unrighteousness. That is what the love of the church is supposed to do. So if it was good enough for the church then, so I'm going to tell you this, Garrett, I was struggling. I was sick on Friday. So I didn't even come into the office. And so I came yesterday to put my notes together. And you know what I did, Brother Gary? I closed my book up and I pushed it to the side. I said, I can't come up with a sermon with this topic. Sister Janice, do you believe I would be so carnally minded that didn't think that God was able to help me? I closed my book and put it back. And I said, let me just read something else, because I can't figure out how to get this sermon going. And all of a sudden I began to read and God dropped it in my spirit. And I thought, this is why Jesus looked at his disciples. Who had already left? Judas had already left. Judas was out of the room. The one who would betray him with the kiss on his cheek, the 30 pieces of silver, had already left the room. And that's when Jesus looked and said, the sin has walked out. So now I can talk to the house of God. Uh-oh. Because if the house of God isn't ready for what the world is about to give them, the house of God will not be able to stand against the world. Y'all better help me preach. What did he say? He said, thou shalt attend service every time the church doors are open. He didn't start off with that. He said, you have to love one another, because the devil is coming after this newfound church. And if you don't learn how to work together, if you don't learn how to bind yourselves together, you will not stand when the enemy comes your way. Now you got to remember this right here, that the very people who were trying to kill Jesus were the very people who hated his mission. And Jesus knew, if y'all don't work together, you will not stand when the enemy comes in. Because past Pontius Pilate was an emperor or a Caesar who hated this man named Jesus. My God, I wish y'all would hear what I'm saying. Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus knows what he's talking about. So he literally is telling them it's going to be hard after today. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be peaceful, but you have got to learn how to love one another. Well, I don't know if you will agree with me or not. Although Nero is dead, although all those emperors are dead, although Pontius Pilate is dead, there is still a devil who is very alive and who is very real, and he hates the church. He hates the message of Jesus. He hates the life that you live. And if he can ever get the fight out of you, then guess what? The devil has won. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And somebody better say amen. Amen. Because the day of Pentecost would have never happened without harmony. Acts chapter 3 would have never happened without harmony. If Peter... Who was it? Oh, my goodness. I have gone blank. Who was at the gate called Beautiful, Brother Larry? Peter and John. There we go. Wow. I was going to say Paul and Silas. That's Acts 16. I'm on top of it today. Who'd he say? Man, I done forgot. Peter and John. Okay. Winning. If Peter and John would have went to that gate called Beautiful... and said, I don't think you should witness this way. And the other person said, I don't think you should talk to me that way. And what happened? We begin to bicker and we begin to fall apart. There would have been a man at the gate called Beautiful asking for alms who would have never heard about Jesus Christ. But because a group of people had love for one for another, they came together and they got before that man. He looked at him and what did he say, Larry? Because me and you are so smart. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Even when they didn't have nothing, he was giving him the best thing possible, which was Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we can do, y'all ready for this? The first thing that we do to love one another is we honor one another. Y'all hear that? We honor one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I bet y'all wish y'all would have shouted now. John chapter 12, verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Uh-oh. I'm going to give y'all some good news. The third point, we'll shout, okay? Ray, you hear that? If it don't go good, you better run like you've never ran before, okay? You better run like Amanda's mad at you. You better do it, okay? Scott, you run too, okay? If the third one don't go too, y'all run. Okay, all right. All right, y'all buckle up. Everybody's not like you. That's a really good thought like that right there. I don't think the world could deal with two of me. Thanks. Okay. Everybody's not like you. Everybody's not going to pray like you. Everybody's not going to intercede like you. Everybody's not going to serve like you. Everybody's not going to get down in the trenches like you do. Everybody's not going to live the Word of God the way that you think they should live the Word of God. Listen, this is the part where we honor one another, is not allowing them to be the topic when they get up from the table and walk away. Y'all don't like this. I'm going to move on as quick as I landed here. I am gone. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Y'all know what it says? Death and life lie in the power of the tongue. Jesus told us to bless those that curse you. That's talking about the enemy. If we are in the church together, we're supposed to show love one for another. I may not like you right now. Do y'all hear me? I am not the most sanctified person in the room all the time. Mandy is. I am not the most sanctified person in the room all the time. There are some times where I don't like you just as much as you don't like me. Sister Janice, I don't know if I should have said that, but it's out there for the whole world to know. Why? Because we're carnal. We don't have the same personalities. We butt up against one another. If you ever see me just staring at you, studying you, it's because I'm trying to figure out what you are and who you are to figure out if it's worth the fight. Sometimes I have to question myself, is it worth the fight, or just let go and let God? And the saints of God better say, preach on, Pastor. Death and life lie in the power of the tongue. If Jesus told us to bless those who curse us, then stop cursing those who are supposed to be the ones that you love the most, brothers and sisters. And we're done and we're moving on. The second part is you guide with love. Somebody say this with me. Hell is real. Y'all believe that? Hell is real, brothers and sisters. And I cannot allow someone to sit in the same church family with me, or someone who claims to be a Christian but live a life of error, and me not tell them the truth in Jesus Christ. Anybody still believe in convicted living? Where you have to sometimes look at somebody where you know it could damage your relationship, but you have to love them enough to where you say, hey, brother, you're struggling in the faith right there. That's not godly. Uh-oh, y'all not listening to me. Y'all not talking to me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs in the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I don't know the fullness of God, but I'm learning Him as much as I can. But something I've learned along the way is that when sin is present, you have to call sin out. Y'all hear me? We're still a holiness church. We don't believe in eternal security. We don't believe that you pray once and you're eternally secure. We know that there is a devil. We know that sin separates you from a holy God. And if we allow you to live a life of sin, then we're signing your death certificate to go to hell. And I refuse to be part of that. I want to be the one who guides you in love. I want to be the one who tells you it's sin. I want to be the one who loves you back into the presence of God. I don't want you to live a life of luxury and go to hell because I was scared to tell you the truth. Because hell is a very real place. And I don't want anybody to go there. Even the most vile, wretched person doesn't deserve to go to hell. And we have the voice to be able to share with somebody the way that you are living is ungodly and it's going to send you to a devil's hell. Y'all listen right here. Can I tell you the truth? When you tell it, you tell it, although it may hurt your heart to tell someone they're living in sin, but you do it with godly love. See, I didn't get the amen that I wanted right there because we struggle with this right here. We don't be rude about it. We don't be arrogant about it. And listen right here, we don't be judgmental about it. We have got to shine Jesus to these lost people, show them with the love of Christ, teaching and admonishing them to live a correct and godly life. Now listen right here. There's a difference between accountability and being judgmental. Y'all hear that? Those are two totally separate things. Being judgmental is condemning a person for their sin and religiously looking down our nose on them. Now for you note takers, download the app. Here's another shout out, Pastor Ryan. Download the app and all my notes will be on the app in the notes section. Praise God. Moving on. Judging is condemning a person for their sin and religiously looking down on them. What does that mean? I would never find myself doing that. You should not be struggling with that. Your faith should be stronger. You're going to go to hell. That's not godly. That's being religious. And it's being a jerk. You tell me I'm going to hell while you're being arrogant, I ain't going to want to go to no altar. Because you're not shining a loving Jesus to me. You're shining an arrogant Jesus to me. And you know what, Brother Larry? This is what I found out. Jesus is not arrogant to a lost person. Jesus is a smart mouth to the religious people. I can't do it. There we go. He would slap them with both sides of the hand before the religious people ever knew it. But what did he do in John chapter 8? He got down in the dirt and he drew and said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And what did he do to the woman, Tanya? He looked over at her and said, hey, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. No, he says, stop sinning. Stop it. Now, was he that mean? I don't know. That was just me being Pentecostal. He could have looked at him and said, you got to stop sinning. You've got to stop doing that. There has got to be a godly love about us where we're not fearful to tell someone they're living incorrectly. and be proud that the same Jesus that saved me from my sin is the same Jesus that can save you from your sin. Yeah, because hell is for real. Hell is eternal. Hell does not end. And I don't want anyone to go there. I don't want anyone to find themselves in a place called hell, all because the church would not tell them about this Jesus. Accountability is seeing a brother or sister sinning, and you point out their sin with love and help guide them towards the right path, because you know that path is not right. Amen. Will it hurt? It probably will. Could it make them mad? It probably will. But still, sometimes you got to be brave and just say, hey, I have to talk to you. Do you know how many times I get mad when I know I have to go talk to somebody? Nobody knows that feeling. I'm glad that y'all are all spiritual. Because even though I'm getting up here and I'm preaching it bold to y'all, but there are some times where I'll pace 20 paces before I ever start walking that way because I'm scared. Because I never want to damage a friendship. But this is something that I've learned. If it takes me damaging a friendship over, and 10 years later them coming back to me saying, thank you that you called me out, then it was worth it. It may hurt the process. The process may hurt. This is it. I'm going to finish this point right here. We're moving on. Do y'all wish y'all would have shouted now? Because we have a heaven to gain and we have a hell to shun. And I want to do all that we can do to carry as many people as we can over there. So number one, we honor one another. Somebody say honor one another. Secondly, we guide with love. And the last one is we worship together. I love this one. We get to worship together. We get to worship in heavenly places together. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as some manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more you see the day is approaching. I've told this analogy before and I just absolutely love it. That the moment I worship God and the moment where I feel heaven come down on me is the moment where I'm in the presence of that most holy God. And when I'm in his presence, also in his presence in heaven are the saints that have already gone on. So when I'm worshiping with God, when I'm worshiping God and I'm in his presence, my meemaw is in the same presence worshiping him together. And the same presence that my meemaw is worshiping in front of is the same presence that the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The same presence of God that was there at the beginning is the same presence of God that is here for me today. And this is the question that I have. Why would I not want to worship God with y'all? Why would I not want to worship God and lift up holy hands and praise the name of Jesus Christ together? I don't want this time that we have to be full of contention and hurt, but I want it to be the choir practice for heaven. Amen. Did y'all like that? Yep. I like that. I think about five of y'all like that. I want this to be the choir practice of heaven. I want us to be singing to the best of our ability, because there's one day when I get there, I'm going to sing a song. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing a song that the angels still don't know what it's like to sing. I'm going to be able to sing a song. You know, Dottie Rambo sang a song years ago. You know what I'm about to say. Now, mama's teaching angels how to sing. Y'all remember that old song? Well, Dottie, her theology is a little bit wrong, because mama can't teach an angel how to sing the song that I can sing. Why are you saying that, Brother Tyler? Because angels have never felt the contamination of sin, but I have felt the contamination of sin. The angels have never fell short of the glory of God, but I have fell short of the glory of God. An angel has never had to repent, but I have had to repent. An angel has never had to be covered by his blood, but I have been covered by his blood. So you know what? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I shouldn't be here, but I'm redeemed. I shouldn't be going to heaven, but I'm redeemed. Someone give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo. Either I'm tired or you're tired. I want to be able to worship with you while we're here, because over there lasts always. Can I preach to you a little bit right here? red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He said, little children, listen to me. Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love me? He loved me enough where when I was a sinner, yet Christ died for me. I wish somebody would just give God a shout of praise for that. I shouldn't have got what I got, but thank God I got what the reward of heaven is. It's a redemption in Jesus Christ. Whew. We are all precious in his sight. The strongest person can take the hand of the weakest person and lift up the name of Jesus together. The poorest person can smile and have joy like the richest person as they praise the name of Jesus. The former addict can shout with the aged saint as they worship the King of Kings. The tattooed, redeemed person can lift up holy hands with the Bible theologian and shout to the Lord of Lords. Why? Because Psalms 100 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And knowing that we are the sheep of his pasture, all those who are covered by his blood. Someone raise your hand if you're covered by his blood. For those who are covered by his blood and live in a righteous life, we will have the presence of God. So let us honor one another. Let us guide one another with love and let us worship together. Because I just said a statement that y'all want to hear a whole lot of. Because this is just the choir practice of what's going to come. This is just the choir practice of what's about to happen. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. These who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That was the driest shout I have ever heard to the rapture. I'm rebuking y'all right now. That was pitiful. I think y'all were more entertained by a 2-year-old falling on the altars than y'all were hearing about the rapture. So let's do it all over again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Every saint that is already there, their grave is going to burst open. That grave that has been sealed up for years is going to burst wide open. And then those who are alive and remain, brothers and sisters, this is not the end of the story, but he is soon coming. Every eye shall see, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. Someone give him a shout of praise. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. The one who saved me by his grace. And leads me through. Oh, what a day. Come on, let's all stand, family. Let's sing it together. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Come on now. The one who saved me. And leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. All right, sisters, I want y'all to lead it. Come on, girls. Oh, what a day. Come on, girls. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon All right, come on, men, let's sing together. Oh, what a day. Come on, can we do just one more time together? Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he
takes me by the hand.
And close our eyes. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we've come to this portion of the service. Lord, I'm glad that you have showed us so much love. I'm thankful for that love of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for all that love that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, even we were sinners, yet you died for us. Heavenly Father, God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the redeemed person. I'm thankful for the richest person. I'm thankful for those who struggle. I'm thankful, Lord, for the most joyous. Lord, I'm thankful for those who are here who may be struggling with their joy. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for that sinner person who said, I need a Savior this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for that sister who came down here and said, Lord, I make you the Savior of my life, the Lord of my life. Lord, in that moment, you took that pen and you dipped in that red blood and you wrote her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heavenly Father, God, if there's anyone in here, Lord, who doesn't know you, Lord, don't let them leave here without knowing you. Lord, as we prepare for an altar call, Lord, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know you, Lord, let them realize that we've all been in that same seat before. None of us were born saved. None of us were born with our act together. Lord, but somewhere along life's way, we all found ourselves at an altar, repenting and saying, I need Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, God, as we prepare to open up this altar, Lord, if there's anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, let them be able to come down here and make their lives right. Lord, we won't judge. We don't look down on anyone, Lord, but we rejoice with the first step that they take. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed.